Today on The Balanced Word from Dave Rolfe.
You know, one person doing one stupid thing can do a lot of damage. You know, most of the time we think that the individual decisions that we make, there isn't that much at stake and it doesn't really matter that much. But when it comes to doing what God is calling us to do, it's so important that we follow directions the best that we can, because what I do doesn't just affect me. And I think sometimes we don't realize that our decisions have ramifications that go way beyond just us.
Wake up my soul, wake up early in the day, wake up my hands and the instrument I play, wake up my voice, let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
From our early days in Sunday school, we learned all about the great victory Joshua and the people had at Jericho. The walls fell down. But we often failed to look at what followed at Ai. Achan failed to do what God said and took something that didn't belong to him. Because of it, lives were lost, including his own. Just goes to show you how one bad decision can do a lot of damage and hurt more than ourselves. Today on The Balanced Word, that's one of the many lessons we'll draw from Joshua chapter 7. As Pastor Dave Rolfe offers up another Bible story, we're going through the Bible, looking at some of the key Bible stories.
In verse 10 of Joshua chapter 7, so the Lord said to Joshua, get up. Why do you lie thus on your face? God's like, come on, quit being a baby. Get up. You're making a fool of yourself. Get up. I think sometimes when we're laying on our face, God's just like looking, going, would you just get up? You are so dramatic. So now God says, you didn't ask me what the problem was. Here's the deal. There was somebody who didn't do what I told you to do with Jericho. Somebody kept back some of the things that were committed to me, that were supposed to be set apart for a sacrifice to me, and they grabbed it for themselves. And Josh was like, well, we better find that person. And so they had representatives from each tribe of Israel come up, and somehow God would show them, nope, it's not them, nope, not them. Yep, that's the guy. That's the family. So then they would bring the families from within the tribes, narrowed it down, and it finally came down to a guy named Achan. And they go, Achan, what did you do? He goes, oh, well, I mean, I got a couple scarves, some silver and gold coins. It's really nothing. It's in the floor of my tent. You want to take them? And they said, well, God said that whoever does this must be stoned and then burned, because the sacrifice of Jericho is not complete. And now you have put yourself in a position of being a part of that sacrifice, you and your family and all your stuff. Kind of severe. But remember, they're just getting started. And if God doesn't communicate clearly that when I say to do something, you need to do it. And when you do what I tell you to do, you need to do it completely. And if you don't, people are going to get hurt. And when you find out what you've done, you need to make it right. He had to establish this right off the bat, just like he did in the early church when Ananias and Sapphira had lied about their offering. They sold some land, gave some of the money to the Lord, but acted like they gave all of it to the Lord. And remember, they dropped dead right there while they were taking the offering. And I mean, what if today, you know, we said, oh, the ushers will come forward to receive the offering. And I should warn you that everyone who doesn't give completely what God tells you you're supposed to give, you'll die on the spot. For one thing, I wouldn't have many people to speak to, but also, it's like, who would even come to a church like that? Well, God wants to make it really clear. This is how I feel about it. He still feels about it the same way as he did. It's not practical for him to kill everyone who violates what he says. But at the same time, we already know what he thinks because he started out this way. And that's kind of what he's doing here. It's like right off the bat, yeah, it seems kind of severe, but we need to understand that God takes this seriously. And in the same way that when they first started doing sacrifices in the tabernacle, two of the sons of Eli messed up, probably from being drunk, and they got a little sloppy in their worship, and God killed them right on the spot. Now, there were times later when people messed up and he didn't kill him, but he just needed to establish, this is serious business with me. And so that's what he's doing here. And in fact, Achan was wiped out. Then they got together in the next chapter, in chapter 8, and they went and conquered Ai with no problem. But what was standing in the way was the sin of Achan. Nothing else. It was simply that. So, I mean, on the one hand, you know, with the kids, we always tell the story of Joshua fighting Jericho. We love that. We sing the song, you know, Joshua fit the battle of Jericho and the walls came tumbling down. But we very seldom say, and then they went and got killed at Ai, because they actually didn't totally finish Jericho like they should have. And so a Jewish guy had to lose his life because of just taking a little bit that he wasn't supposed to take. We leave that out of the story, and it just sounds better. Woo, Jericho. Now, Jericho's a cool story, but you can't tell the story without Ai, because Ai is the point of Jericho. It's what God's establishing right from the beginning. So, I mean, what do we get from this? How does this first experience in the Promised Land, what does it tell us about us and about God? First of all, there's no doubt God's power to do anything. If he can cause a fort to fall over from trumpets and screams, God can do anything. Now, there might have been a lot of ways that God could have had them defeat Jericho, but this is the way God chose to do it, so that they would never again doubt whether God could do something or not. They would always remember back, okay, we're going into a battle, we're going to fight a battle. Can we win this? Remember Jericho? Are you kidding me? God is with us. We can do anything. And I think for all of us, sometimes we need to be reminded of that. We become so practical, and the fact that God doesn't always intervene, he doesn't always do what we would like him to do, and most of the times he lets things play out and doesn't interrupt. Because of that, we just don't expect him, and we forget, actually, that he even has the power to do anything that he wants to do. And so, like, if somebody gets sick with a cold or a flu, we pray. And then if they get well, you know, a day or two sooner than they normally would have, we're like, wow, praise the Lord. I feel better today. I'm healed of my cold. And, you know, echinacea and wellness vitamins, all these other things will do the same thing. Yeah, you just get well, that's all. And so we go, okay, God, yeah. But then when somebody has a bad disease that the doctor says this is incurable, now our prayers change a lot. It's like, shoot. You know, God, please heal him. But let's face it, God, between me and you, I know you're not. So help him to have a nice funeral and a great eternity in heaven. I mean, that's kind of our mentality, because we totally forget that God can do anything. But also the way this affects us is that we don't try things because the odds seem to be against us. Now, I've heard people say, and I think it's a great point, if there isn't something that you are doing with your life right now that is doomed for failure unless God shows up, then you're selling yourself short. If we believe that God is this kind of a powerful God, then we should be trying crazy stuff, because the worst thing that's going to happen is we march around the walls and nothing happens, and we're like, okay, well, that was fun. Got some exercise, good cardio. And, you know, but we don't even try stuff if we don't know that it's going to work. It's fine to send in the spies and know what the odds are. But at some point, we need to exercise faith and take a risk, step out of our comfort zone and do things, because that's what life is about. Life is not even life if we don't do that. And often what keeps us from exercising our faith is we forget what God has done for us in the past. We forget what he's demonstrated that he's capable of doing, and understanding that when I step out in faith and I ask God for help, I'm talking to the guy who caved walls in from noise. And this is important for us to remember. I think we'll get a lot less discouraged if we remember who God is and what he can do. Now, I don't always know what he will do, but I know what he can do. And I am willing to take some risks, and I am willing to step out and try some stuff, because I would just love to be the guy that sees the walls fall down sometime. And that's something that the Jews had with them forever. They could go back to Jericho. It was right in the middle of their country. And they could go see that pile of rubble that wasn't rebuilt, and they would remember, God did that. And therefore, I am never again going to sell God short. I'm going to believe that God can do anything, and I'm going to act on that with that kind of faith. And so that's really important. Another lesson that I think we need to take away from this story has to do with Achan. You know, one person doing one stupid thing can do a lot of damage. You know, most of the time we think that the individual decisions that we make, there isn't that much at stake and it doesn't really matter that much. But when it comes to doing what God is calling us to do, it's so important that we follow directions the best that we can. Because what I do doesn't just affect me. I mean, okay, Achan, his family probably knew about it since they got punished too. But how about these 36 soldiers that knew nothing about Achan, that were celebrating Jericho? They're like, woohoo, this is great. Yeah, I want to volunteer. I want to go beat Ai. This will be cool. And they lie there on the battlefield dead because of Achan. And I think sometimes we don't realize that our decisions have ramifications that go way beyond just us, that our failure is going to hurt more than just us. Because life is complicated and we are connected and we're designed to function as a community. And so one sin by one person quite often can have, you know, serious damage. I don't say this to say, so be careful, because not doing what God tells you to do is one of the most serious problems of all. But when we are doing what God is calling us to do, it's so important that we say, I want to do this right. I want to know that I'm doing what he wants me to do, and I'm going to take it seriously, because everything that I do may affect others. Now, probably not everything that I do affects others in that way, but you never know. In this case, grabbing a couple of souvenirs, you know, your first Holy Land souvenirs. I mean, frankly, I'm sure the statute of limitations is over. The first time I went to Israel, okay, I grabbed a few couple thousand-year-old tiles off of a thing. You know, it's, oh, you're kidding, Dave. Oh, this is my BC days. No, it wasn't. I was a pastor. But, I mean, there were hundreds of thousands of them, and they should have secured that area more. I mean, they should. But today I've offered them to the Lord, so I don't even know where they are. They're probably in a pants pocket somewhere in the Goodwill. But, you know, I looked at it and go, what's the big deal? That's kind of Achan. It's like, who would have thought that this was it? Stuff was going to get burned anyway. What's the big stinking deal about this? But you just don't know. You don't know what can happen from what you do. And so we have to take responsibility about going, I want to do the best I can to do what I'm supposed to do the way God wants me to do it, because I realize there's a lot at stake. Sometimes people's lives may be at stake based on whether or not we do what God wants us to do. And then thirdly, this is a great lesson in finishing what you've started. God told them to sacrifice to him the entire city of Jericho. And they did that 99.999% of an extent. But they stopped just short of a handful of coins and an outfit of clothes. They came that close, but they held back. It's so important that we learn to finish what we've started. That we not just get all fired up and we're moving forward and great things, and then just kind of flake out. And that's our tendency. It's always exciting to start something, but finishing it off takes discipline. And they didn't quite finish the job. And I see most of us struggling with this kind of a thing. Something we started that we didn't finish. Something that we got excited about, but we just kind of, it's kind of there. It's good enough. It's close enough. Yesterday, I spent several hours with a guy I know who's in prison, and he's been in there for 15 years, and he isn't even eligible for his first parole hearing for another 10 years. And as I was just talking to him, he was saying, man, I've cleaned up a lot of, he was with the prison gang and stuff, and he's really made that right, and he's trying to do the right thing, and he's really cleaning up his act and his life. And he said, I know that now I'm at the point where I need to spiritually really get my life together. And I go, that's great. And I said, why don't you just pray and give your life to Jesus right now? And he was like struggling with that. And I go, what's holding you back? He said, there's a couple things that I need to make right before I do that. And I said, accept Jesus right now, and Jesus will go with you and help you to deal with those areas that you're struggling in. You don't clean yourself up and then come to him. You come to him with everything, and he will take you all the way to where he wants you to go. But I think so often we're waiting because of some reasons like, well, I need to do this before I can finish. This story tells us, reminds us forever, when you start with God, go all the way. Don't hold back. Don't just give partly. I mean, this was an offering to him. The Bible makes it very clear that if we don't give God everything that he calls us to give to him, that there are consequences in our lives. But sometimes we just think, well, I gave more than most. I gave a lot. I gave more than I did last year. But this story reminds us, no, you take this very seriously by taking from God, or as Malachi calls it, robbing God. That's a serious thing. That's what they did here. God's offering, they just grabbed some of it and just kind of, this isn't a big deal. We're close. Hey, close counts in horseshoes and hand grenades, but not much anything else. You either go all the way with God, or there was really no point in you starting, because he demands complete commitment and complete obedience. And this story reminds us of that, that if we hold short of finishing what God has called us to start, we not only make the world a dangerous place for other people, and we're not sure who those other people always are, but always starts with our families. But not only that, you would have been better off if you hadn't even done it in the first place. We need to finish what we start. And the reason we get discouraged in not finishing what we start and not going all the way with God is because we forget that he can make walls fall down. And we think that we don't matter. And so those first two points, the fact that God is incredibly powerful and the fact that everything we do has ramification beyond ourselves, all of that feeds into this is why we need to finish what we've started. There may be people here today that haven't really entered into a relationship with God. You're kind of dabbling around the edges. You're better than you used to be. Most of your old sins, you're too tired to commit anymore. And you're going to church, and that feels good. It's like, yeah, I know Christians. And that free food on Wednesday night sounds good. But you've never really come to the point where you've committed your life completely to God and said, I am all in with you. I want everything that you have for me, and I want to obey you as best as I can in every way that I can. I want my life to belong to you. And so maybe you've come a long ways. I'm glad that you're better than you used to be. I'm glad that you have Christian friends, because that's always a good thing. But do you really want to run the risk of coming as far as you've come in cleaning up your act, and then never actually committing yourself completely as an offering to God? That's something that we all have to do, or we'll face serious consequences as a result of that, and it'll affect more than just us. So I want to encourage you, if you've never done that, today is the day that you just decide, I want what God wants. I want to give my life to him. This isn't, a lot of people think that it's just like, if you will kind of believe and pray a little prayer and you think Jesus rose from the dead probably, that then you're going to heaven and nothing else matters. But the only kind of relationship with God that God ever talks about is where we take our whole life and we give it to him. And we go all the way with him. I want what he wants. I can't give anyone security who just thinks that, yeah, you know, I've dabbled around the edges. That was Achan. Achan probably burned a lot of stuff. Achan probably killed people. Achan probably marched around. But when it came down to it right at the end, he just came just short of what God wanted him to do. If that's you, today is the day to start over. Jesus died for you so that anything you've done can be forgiven. Nobody, we're not going to stone you after church and burn you as an offering to God, because Jesus got burned for you. Jesus died for you. All you have to do is put your faith in him. But if you want the life that he has for you, it's time to make a commitment to him. It's time to decide that you're going all the way with him. If not, I have nothing for you. I don't know what to tell you. That if you believe in a God who's great but not great enough for you to trust him with your life and with your stuff, if you're like, yeah, I love God, so I sing to him and I'll throw a few bucks in and then I'm good. I don't do really bad things anymore. So much more than that. And God has so much more blessing in store for you. For the children of Israel, he was about to give them the land of their dreams, but it all hinged right here, right now, on two little cities. Are you going to do what I want you to do? I encourage you, if you've never really trusted in Jesus Christ, do it today. There'll be people down here in the front, and they would just love to pray with you. And I promise you, you come up here, and this is the desire of your heart, all of your sins will be forgiven immediately. You will have a fresh start. And you'll be connected to a God who wants you to enter his promised land in a beautiful way. And not just in heaven, but here and now. To enter into a life that's greater than you ever imagined. That's what he wants for you. Why would you turn that down? The only way to turn it down, the only real reason for turning that down is because you really don't believe it. If you don't believe it, I get that. But if there's something inside of you that's telling you this is something I need to do, I've come a long ways, but I haven't really finished what I started with God, then come down and commit your life to him. Start over. It'll be the best decision that you ever made.
You're listening to The Balanced Word. In addition to being our teacher on the program, Dave Rolf is the pastor of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. We're going through the Bible right now in a series called Bible Stories. We have these messages archived for you at thebalancedword.com, or call and request today's message on CD at 949-362-7475. And as a special appreciation gift for your donation of $10 or more, The Balanced Word is pleased to send you all of these messages in this Bible Story series on a USB thumb drive. You'll hear some of the Bible's greatest stories from Genesis through Revelation. To make a secure donation, go to thebalancedword.com or call 949-362-7475. And don't forget to ask for the Bible Story series as you give. Again, we're at thebalancedword.com. And we'd like to take this time to invite you to Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel. Our Sunday morning service times are at 8, 9:45, and 11:30. Again, we're at ccpacifichills.org if you'd like more information. Or if you're outside of the area, you can watch our live stream right there at ccpacifichills.org. Check out Pastor Dave's one-minute messages, a great way to start the day. You can listen to them at thebalancedword.com or watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. With some final reflections on today's Bible story, here again is Pastor Dave.
Let's think about, especially, what are some areas in which I've started but I didn't finish? Maybe there's something that you know God's been telling you, that he wants more from you, that he wants you to serve in some way that you kind of started but you fizzled out, or he wants you to give on a different level, or he wants you to pray for people more. He just wants you to make some lifestyle changes in what matters to you. If you've started well, it doesn't mean anything unless you continue. If you don't, it's going to affect more people than just you. Our halfway compromised Christianity is sending a whole lot of people to hell, because we don't show them a life without compromise. We show them a wishy-washy kind of picture of Christianity. And that's something that as followers of Jesus, we need to take that very seriously. So think about that. Ask yourself, where am I in my life? Have I seen Jericho, but Ai is kicking me? Have I even gone as far as to get to Ai, but now the rest of the land is lying there and I'm just kind of, I'm in retirement now. I'm just taking it easy. What else does he want you to conquer? Go for that.
Next time we bring you the story of Gideon from the book of Judges. We have that to look forward to on the next Balanced Word with Dave Rolfe, a daily presentation of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands. And yeah.